across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
So welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Friday, August 18th. Usually I tell you it's National Fill-in-the-Blank Day, and you know sometimes there's one or two. There's way too many today, which really gets me wondering how these things get created. We'll get to it at some point, but today is National Fajita Day, National Ice Cream Pie Day, National Pinot Noir Day, National Mail Order Catalog Day, National Couples Day, National Hawaiian Shirt Day, National Kool-Aid Day, National Men's Grooming Day, and World Breast Cancer Research Day. Aaron, I think that the time has come for some winnowing. Is there not a single body that does these things? It used to be Congress would declare a holiday. Now, apparently they're like one of those claw machines that is broken and you get a prize every time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure now anybody, like, I think Hallmark is responsible for some of these. And then other companies just started saying, you know what? Today is National Aaron Zommers Day because I said so.
There you go. Yes.
And then they publish it somewhere and it doesn't catch on, but it becomes official, so to speak.
Well, actually, now that you say that, I don't put them all up because there's just so many. But today, there's always one for like first names. And I was just looking to see if I could figure out what today's was. It's not Ian, I don't think. Jaden. It's National Jaden Day. Says who? But yeah, I could see a National Aaron Day. I'm sure there's a National Aaron Day in there. It's got to be the January 1st because of the A and the A. First
that
on the calendar.
That would make sense. Meanwhile,
first
you got to be ready. You got to be ready for November 28th because that is National Patrick Day.
Why not March 17th? We already have a day for Patrick's.
I know. And Aaron Day is May 27th. Why?
Oh, of course it is.
Although, if it's Aaron with one A instead of two, that's November 22nd.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you actually found this list.
This doesn't make any sense.
Look, since we're going down this rabbit hole, and this is off of the website nationaltoday.com, along with everything else that I've read to you, it is, it's Long Tan Day. It's National Bad Poetry Day. It's National Never Give Up Day and National Serendipity Day. Serendipity, you know, for your dippity-do. So, look, I like passing on one or two of these at a time, but today the list was just like so redunculous that I thought I would share the whole thing and promise you that at some point we're going to find out, you know, how do these websites decide, you know, who they put on there and how these things happen. And maybe since clearly the bar is low, let's create our own.
Yeah, maybe we could do like National Up North Day or something like that if that doesn't already exist.
Yeah, that probably does already exist, come to think about it. But yeah, we'll take a good look into that. So there you go. Started off our hour telling you what day it is. You know what day it is? It's Friday. It's all that matters. Coming up this hour, we'll talk to our usual Friday friends. We've got Mark Jacob coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we'll look at some of the media coverage of the goings-on with a former president of the United States being indicted for a fourth time, now facing four criminal trials. We'll also talk to our friend Dan Schumacher, who's now with Northland College up in Ashland, and we'll talk a little sports, especially given just how badly the Brewers have played for the past 3 days in Los Angeles and whether the Cubs and Reds are going to be able to catch up to them. We'll also talk a little bit about football. I was a little troubled last night to see that in one of the preseason games, the Philadelphia Eagles lost not one, but two players to neck injuries. And then on the other side of the football coin, high school football season is underway. Games got started this week, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little college football with Dan as well. If you can't hang around for that, or if you missed our last hour, just a reminder that you can catch the show anytime over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, where there are many different ways to listen to the many different shows that we have. You listen to Up North News Radio regularly? That's great. Thank you. But maybe you'd like to hear a little bit of Todd Alba or Kristen Bry doing As Goes Wisconsin. You just want to sample the shows. You don't have to wait till you know, 10 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon to do that, go to civicmedia.us, and then you can click on shows and see everything across the network and give a listen to things that you'd like to try for the first time. And then you can subscribe to these shows as a podcast as well, right there on the website or through your favorite podcast distributor, whether it's Apple or Spotify or anything like that. And of course, for Up North News Radio, that also means you can go to the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page, and you can always look back at the video replay. And you can look at, you know, the astonished faces of Aaron Zomers and myself as we read through all of these holidays and wondered how the heck you come up with all of them. One more date that is very real, and that's August 25th. That's a week from today. That is the end of the Summer Civic Pints Statewide Blood Donation Challenge. So you still have time to give blood, help out blood banks, help save a life, take a selfie when you do it, and then use the hashtag CivicPints when you donate that pint of blood, and go to the Civic Media website and get information on how you could be eligible to win one of many, many prizes that are being given away by Civic Media as part of the Civic Media Civic Pints Statewide Blood Donation Challenge. Details on the Brewers-Dodgers game from last night and our weatherology forecast for the weekend coming up next. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Now
a little Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren on this Friday as we play Dirty Dancing music throughout the 2 hours here to mark the anniversary of the birth of Patrick Swayze. So now it's time to look ahead to the weekend and what promises to be just a really nice Wisconsin summer weekend by and large. Let's get all the details from Jennifer Vuchitsky from Weatherology, who joins us now. Jennifer, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So is it looking as good as I'm building it up here? I hope I'm not setting you up for, you know, disappointment or anything.
No, I mean, like you said, it's going to be a summer-like weekend. Some areas are going to be super, super hot, and overall, it is just going to be kind of a hot weekend. Today, we're looking at still an air quality alert in effect for the entire state today. Areas of haze lingering due to those Canadian wildfires, so something to keep in mind as you're heading out and about for the day today. Sunny across the board with highs in the mid-70s to right around about 80, so still slightly below or just barely around average for the day. Tomorrow, it does look like we'll see sunny skies continuing through the entire weekend for all listening areas. Hotter as well as a warm front comes in. Mid to upper 80s on Saturday from Wausau down to Madison and for the eastern half of the state. 90s expected from Wisconsin Rapids down to Richland Center and for the western half of the state tomorrow. Then on Sunday, still that mix of highs through, though a little bit of a different orientation. Mixed mid to upper 80s expected for west central Wisconsin around Amory and Baldwin, so slightly cooler there on Sunday, but overall still a hot day. And that'll be also the case through Wausau into Oshkosh and over towards Milwaukee. Then 90s expected still from Waukesha westward, primarily for the southwestern portions of the state on Sunday. Then to start off the new work week on Monday, looks like some cloud cover coming in, lingering in the 80s for most, above average temperatures expected, into the 70s, a little bit cooler towards Lake Michigan, then starting to warm back up here by Tuesday.
Got to go find my SPF all over again. Jennifer, thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
There's Jennifer Vuchitsky from Weatherology joining us on this Friday morning here on Up North News Radio. The LA Dodgers won their 11th game in a row, and that's because the last three of them have been against an anemic Milwaukee Brewers offense. The Dodgers won yesterday 1-0, sweeping the three-game series and spoiling just a gem of a performance by Corbin Burnes, who went 7 scoreless innings against the Dodger lineup. He struck out 9. He allowed only 2 hits. But again, the Brewers couldn't score a single run, especially, and they did have several opportunities to do so, but couldn't make it happen. So good thing they swept the White Sox for those three games coming into this. So at least they've broken even for the past week. But now they've got to get down to Texas to play a Rangers team. They're no slouches themselves. And so you can catch those games on the Civic Media Radio Network in two places. The Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3, 1100 AM. And News from the Center and Richland Center, WRCE, 107.7 and 1450 AM. All right, let's unpack some more of the news here. The Republican presidential candidates will be in Milwaukee next week. And as we know, President Biden was in Milwaukee this week, again, in all cases showing that Wisconsin remains a battleground state. And remember what that means here, as I explained that there's not only going to be a debate next week, but also a big ad blitz by the Biden campaign. The story here from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the Biden campaign will be using the Republican primary debate as the launch pad for a paid media blitz, painting Republicans as extreme and tying all of the Republican hopefuls to Donald Trump. So starting with the Wednesday evening debate, the campaign will launch its third major paid media buy of the election cycle, this one specifically targeting Black and Latino voters. So when you hear that Wisconsin is a battleground, it is understandable if some folks feel fatigue, that maybe we don't want so much attention. But I feel like I really have to add again, and I will again and again, add what this means for us. It means your vote matters. Your vote matters actually more than people who live in other states that are either so red or so blue that they know that their votes for president aren't going to be a difference maker. Yours could be. Wisconsin's presidential elections have been razor thin pretty much as long as I can remember. I think the last time anybody had what you would call a comfortable margin in Wisconsin was probably George W. Bush in 2004. But even back before that, Wisconsin's elections were, you know, far from certain. They almost always went to the Democratic candidate, but they were always close. And then Donald Trump won Wisconsin in 2016. Again, close. Joe Biden won last time around, closely. So we know the importance here in Wisconsin. It just, I feel like sometimes we need to bring it up to remind people that, you know, that's the reason why we sometimes feel a little fatigued, why we get all this extra attention. But, you know, in much the same way as in Iowa and New Hampshire, it means that, you know, the votes in our state matter. And, you know, as a result, we're going to get a little bit more attention. So I hope folks take it and use that value wisely and vote and talk to other people about the candidates that you're going to be supporting. There's a headline from up north that I wanted to pass along here, and that's how a federal judge this week dismissed a lawsuit that was seeking to block the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa from barricading the roads on its reservation, saying that the non-tribal landowners who brought the lawsuit didn't have a case under federal law. If you haven't heard this story for a while, here's a refresher. The Lac du Flambeau Chippewa have been locked in a dispute with the adjoining town of Lac du Flambeau and 21 different non-tribal landowners since back in January, when tribal leaders first set up barricades on four reservation roadways that they said were now being illegally used because the agreement for using the roads by non-tribal members had expired, had actually expired more than like some 10 years ago, and that negotiations were just not leading to anything. And so the tribe decided to, you know, enforce the easement and put up the barriers. Some of the non-tribal members filed suit, but federal judge William Connolly in Madison, who had already signaled in June that he would not force the tribe to remove the barricades while the lawsuit played itself out, has now thrown the lawsuit out, saying that the tribal council does have sovereign rights over their roadways, and a federal court does not have the jurisdiction to force it to keep the roads open to the public. So what is it about the non-tribal folks and getting on to reservation land? Well, because of a federal policy from well over 100 years ago, the reservations land was opened up to individual parcel sale. And it was ostensibly so that individual tribal members could own their own piece of land. But over time, that parcel of land got sold, maybe got sold again, to eventually to somebody who was not a tribal member. And so in order for that non-tribal member to get on land that they now own, but it's within the reservation, they have to travel on roads in the reservation, and tribal members have the right to say that, you know, they should be fairly compensated for providing that access, for using the land, using the roads, and so forth. That's called an easement. And easement payments had been going on for decades. But again, about a decade ago, those easements expired. And the two sides, along with some title companies and insurance companies and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, have not been able to come together on a proper agreement to again allow access onto reservation land. And so the tribe finally in January said that's enough. And, you know, in order to basically get all sides to take things seriously, they put up the barricades. That obviously caused hardship for the non-tribal members, and that's why the lawsuit was filed. There was a separate lawsuit where the U.S. Department of Justice is actually suing the town of Lac des Flambeaux in order to pay damages to the tribe for failing to renew the land agreements. And so the way that this is finally starting to resolve itself is that the tribal council adopted a resolution back in May that said, okay, we'll allow access, but let's start setting up payments at $22,000 for the month of June and then increasing by $2,000 every month going forward. And so far, the town has said okay and have gone along with those payments. I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, the long-range solution, but if both sides are still talking, and if there's this threat of a lawsuit no longer hanging over them, then perhaps this opens up the door for, you know, a more longer-term resolution where maybe cooler heads are going to prevail. Governor Tony Evers is set to lead a trade mission to Europe in September. That announcement coming from his office on Thursday. The governor's office says the delegation will stress Wisconsin manufacturing, health, scientific, and food processing industries. The governor will be accompanied by a delegation from 10 companies in the state, along with Missy Hughes, who is the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. There will be stops in Brussels, Belgium, Amsterdam, other cities in the Netherlands and in Luxembourg. Belgium was among the top 10 destinations for Wisconsin exports in 2021, and the Netherlands ranked 11th. Now, the announcement did not say the exact dates as far as when Evers is going to leave and return. A spokesperson didn't immediately respond to an email seeking the dates for the trip. But again, anything that builds on Wisconsin producers' ability to get their product into other markets should always be welcomed as a plus. I said in the last hour that there might be another budget showdown and another government shutdown coming up this fall. And I said at the time because of a dysfunctional U.S. House. And I could understand if people said, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, you know, it takes two. The Democrats run the Senate, the Republicans run the House, and they can't agree. And that is a fair point. But when I say a dysfunctional U.S. House run by Republicans, I'm not kidding around. Here's the latest example coming from everybody's friend, George Santos, the, if that's his real name, the professional imposter. Well, now it turns out that a man who was a paid campaign fundraiser for Congressman Santos was indicted this week in New York on federal criminal charges related to his impersonating a top aide to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as he solicited donations for Santos. He admits to faking his identity to a big donor, but stated that he was, you know, high risk, high reward in everything I do. So get that. The guy, you know, says, yep, I'm an imposter, but you know, that's how I roll. I go big, you know, go big or go home. Well, that's nice, sir, but you're still going to face federal charges for acting illegally, raising money for a professional liar who can't get kicked out of a Congress because the leadership only has a couple of votes to spare, so they've got to put up with this kind of shenanigans in our United States Congress. Time to look at how the national media has been covering some of the big stories of the past week. Our friend Mark Jacob is back after a several weeks hiatus here. It'll be nice to catch up, and we'll do that right after this break. You're up north. Back on this Friday morning, Up North News Radio, and time to visit with our friend Mark Jacob, a former editor at the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, author as well, and talking about how the media has covered some of the big stories this week. And of course, the big one is a former president of the United States now facing a fourth indictment, the second one involving trying to steal an election. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Right. And it was kind of an interesting week for that. It didn't. The cycle wasn't great, you know, with the indictment coming out, you know, quite late at night. And that kind of damaged some of the coverage. Like the New York Times had their early editions said details unclear on indictment. Well, the details were unclear because the indictment hadn't been released yet. But by the time anyone read your print paper and saw the headline that said details unclear, the details would be clear. So that was not a very good headline.
Well, no. And the headline itself, indictment is in over bid to flip vote in Georgia. Right. There's something missing there.
Like a subject?
Like the words Donald Trump. I mean, right. And it is, people have pointed out that the story is basically a fraction of the breathless amount of space taken up for Hillary Clinton, you know, years earlier.
They tried to make up for it the next day with, a lot of coverage. And you know, and they've gone through the indictment. The thing about this is that you keep on getting the Republicans saying, there's nothing to this. This is weaponization. But, you know, and I saw one guy, Ken Buck, a representative from Colorado, saying, and the first question I asked him is, did you read the indictment? And he said, well, no. But, you know, so it's one of those things where it's, you know, please don't bother me with the facts. That we don't, you know, any facts are scary. We don't want to know about them because it might make our opinion, you know, less valid. So there's this really willful, you know, on the right wing media and politicians, there's a willful desire to not understand what's going on, even though it's really pretty clear. And I will give the media credit for having explained the indictment and various aspects of it, the whole Coffee County thing in Georgia, where they brazenly went into a place where the machines were kept and copied off a software and then distributed it to other states. I mean, these are crimes, felonies, and it's about time people got indicted for it. I'm also very glad to see it, that it's not just Trump, that it's the whole cast of characters, or many of them, Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani. I don't understand how Rudy Giuliani got this far without getting indicted for something, but it's good to see that it happened.
Well, and it raises a couple of points here when people say, well, why was there a Georgia case? There's already a federal case. Isn't this being redundant? And there are, in fact, differences between the two, not the least of which is that in Georgia, they charged pretty much the whole cabal,
right.
While the federal case, there's a lot of unindicted co-conspirators like Kenneth Chesbro. We talked about him from Wisconsin. And perhaps the strategy is that if they're unindicted co-conspirators, meaning we haven't charged you yet, so if you cooperate with us, but right. In Georgia, they're like, no, we're not playing that game. You committed a crime, we think, and we're going to charge you.
Yeah, we've got all the facts here. Plus, you know, you got these schemes in Georgia to try to undercut Fannie Willis's power. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Republicans are trying to go around the system and decide that prosecutors aren't allowed to be prosecutors. But the Jack Smith thing is built for speed. I mean, that's the reason that just Trump got indicted, is that Smith wants to get it done fast, and good for him, because we do have an election coming up, and one of the candidates is obviously a criminal, and frankly, he needs to get convicted of something before the election. I don't know if that'll happen, but because you know, Pat, you look at Trump's whole history, and it's delay, delay, delay.
Oh yeah.
No, and if you're innocent, is your whole history delay, delay, delay? No. If you're guilty, your whole strategy is delay, delay, delay.
Right. And there's the parallel to Watergate as well, that, you know, Nixon resigned. And then for literally a couple of years afterwards, we would see some of the underlings eventually go to trial, right, or go to prison or whatnot. So, yeah, totally understand why that's happening. But, Mark, I don't know how any of this can be happening if we're not taking care of the higher priority that some would say is out there. And that would be, well, you know, Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, again, we can't go 5 minutes without, you know, that. And even when, so why are we mentioning it? Well, mention it, call it out as a strategy that, you know, if you just say Hunter Biden, you've suddenly both sided this thing in people's right. minds when right. they should not. You know, I've linked, again, we've said if Hunter Biden committed some kind of a crime, there should be consequences, but that is a speeding ticket compared to the vehicular manslaughter right. that we're seeing on the other side.
Right. And you know, I'll give Democrats credit for this. They've pretty much said, well, you know, if Hunter Biden committed crimes, he should be, you know, punished for them. It's not this. It's not what you're getting on the right side, which is that well, no, Trump did nothing wrong, based on nothing. Now, it sure looks like Hunter Biden, you know, tried to leverage his dad's fame and influence to make money, because Hunter Biden was a disturbed guy who was addicted to drugs and just had problems. That's bad. That's sad. And it's not good when members of a politician's family try to leverage, you know, the influence. But nobody elected Hunter Biden. Nobody is going to elect Hunter Biden. So let's look at what Joe Biden did. And did he do anything wrong? And you keep on getting these flat out lies by people like Jim Comey on, you know, you get the and, you know, that idiot, Jim Jordan from Ohio, you get those people who are just going to go into committee meetings, listen to what people say, and then go out of the committee meeting and say that they said the exact opposite. So there's a lot of lying going on regarding Joe Biden. And if they try to impeach Joe Biden, I think it'll blow up in their face, because they don't have the evidence. And you know, and evidence still does matter in some places in this country.
Yes,
and,
it does. Yeah.
And that's where the media's got to help too. They have to really be loyal to the facts, and they have to report stuff like that accurately. And unfortunately, they're not really doing it so much. They're kind of mentioning the possibility of Biden's impeachment, but they're not stopping to say, but there's no evidence to indicate that Joe Biden committed any kind of crime.
No, it's easier to go, well, is the Trump indictment, is this a terrible moment for our country?
Right, like, right.
No. Right. I think you had a post that said, no, it's actually a good moment for the country if justice is being done.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when somebody commits a crime and gets caught, them getting caught is not a sad day for the country. It's a good day. I mean, we want criminals prosecuted, don't we? I mean, at least we used to. I was brought up that way.
We were.
Pat, I've got to tell you that it just feels like Alice in Wonderland or something in this country sometimes, you know, and you get the Republicans so much saying, well, crimes aren't crimes. It's all just weaponization. There's no such thing as a crime. You know, it's all just political. It's all political in nature. There's no such thing as a crime. And if we don't believe in crime, we don't believe in justice. We just, you know, then we're just, you know, anything goes.
Here's
and
the other
society like that.
Here's the other Alice in Wonderland thing, but I guess I do mean it in a positive way, that, you know, people like Liz Cheney, who I never would have agreed with on almost anything, has stepped up. Last hour, I talked about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn, as conservatives as they come, but he's not willing to rig the state Supreme Court, you know, the way other conservative justices have in the past. And now you've got Trump's former attorney general, William Barr, who was on Fox News or Fox Business yesterday, and I was looking at the clips this morning. And again, this is a guy who, I mean, he took the Mueller report and completely perverted its meaning. He did the country no favors.
Right.
And yet now he's out there on Fox of all places, and he's being absolutely merciless about, you know, how Trump is most certainly guilty and should be convicted of these crimes. So
the
upside down nature also extends to some of the Republicans out there who are not willing to go along with this.
Yeah, I think Bill Barr is a terrible person. I think he was one of the worst attorney generals ever. And lied and all this, but he clearly saw that Trump was going in a completely felonious direction and decided to bug out so that he wouldn't get, you know, splashed by it. So, that happened. And then now, you know, he's Fox. It's interesting that Fox News is having him on to say things like that. Fox News is clearly hedging its bets. You know, they're afraid to, they're like the rest of the Republican Party. They're afraid to criticize Trump, but they know he's terrible and they know that he's, you know, driving the Republican Party over the cliff, but they don't know what to do. They're like totally in a trick bag. And so it's interesting that they bring Barr out. And Barr just said, he said, lawyers, including me, told him that he was going in a criminal direction, that there was no evidence that the election was stolen. In fact, it was a fair election, and that he needed to stop now, or he was going to be dealing with the Justice Department and with prosecutions for the rest of his life. And he didn't listen.
You and I will be talking much more a week from now about how the how Fox News did covering the Milwaukee debate next week. Brett Baer, Martha McCallum will be the moderators. Any thoughts going into it as far as whether you think the moderators and Fox overall will cover the non-Trumpers in one way or another?
Well, I think that it would be good if they forced every candidate to talk about Trump, just because he's not going to be there almost certainly. But the fact that they won't criticize him shows how weak they are, because they're running against him and they won't criticize him. That just shows that they're cowards and they're not in favor of that. So I'd like to see some questioning along those lines. I'll be looking forward to seeing it too. But I think it's really interesting how DeSantis, you know, they're now, the big narrative is that he's, you know, falling. And I think sometimes the media does that so they can write a later narrative that he's rising. He's the comeback kid.
Yes.
Just watch. I mean, I predict this, that at some point in time, DeSantis is going to be the comeback kid.
Oh, that's, yes, yes, you're absolutely right. Let's switch gears. You've spent time living where our next story takes us, and what Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee is doing to basically, you know, erase part of the American story in getting rid of an AP African American Studies class. What's the background on that?
Yeah, I live in the Chicago area, but I spent a lot of time in Arkansas when I was a kid, and I still pay attention to politics down there quite a bit. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, obviously, you know, Trump's lying press secretary, is now governor, and they, at the very last minute, like, you know, just the Friday before classes are, you know, are going to get underway, school's going to get underway, they actually, in quiet phone calls, tell all these school districts that they're not going to accept the AP African American Studies course for course credit, or for the state pays, like, the tests, the $90 that it takes to take the test at the end of it. And that they decide that the state's not going to pay for that. They're going to pay for European history, AP, but they're not going to pay for African-American studies, which, you know, is, what the heck are you doing? Why are you doing this? And they lied for days about why they were doing it. You know, oh, well, we're not clear. And then finally, they came down to the real thing that they were saying, which is that we're not sure that this course does not violate the new law against CRT and indoctrination. You know, critical race theory, which is, so they say, so we cannot, you know, fund this class, or, you know, accept it. And this guy in Arkansas, this journalist, he did a Freedom of Information Act request and asked, you know, how do you define CRT in the law? And the state said, well, you have no documents that go to that. We have no definition of CRT. So now they're saying, well, we can't fund this class that, you know, that about African-American culture and history, because it may violate the CRT, and we don't know what CRT is. So, you know, where does that put anyone? But the really exciting thing about it is that the six school districts that were going to offer this AP class, all six of them said, we don't care if the state pays for it or not. We don't care if the state considers it, you know, legitimate class. We're going to offer it. All six of them. So they're going against Sarah Huckabee Sanders in a very conservative state.
Sounds great. I've got 30 seconds left, so we'll have to probably do more on this next week, because I got a feeling it's still going to be around. And that's Tommy Tuberville, the senator who's holding up hundreds now of military promotions. But just in these few seconds here, I'm glad to see somebody joining me and saying, I don't want to see Democratic senators tweeting about this. I want Democratic senators who are in the majority to change the rule or do something.
No, I think this rule where one senator can stop a bill is ridiculous. It's anti-democratic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Senate rules that are like the filibuster that are just plain terrible. And senators or Democrats, instead of enjoying the privilege of these stupid rules, should decide to attack them and take them down to promote democracy.
That's the way it should work. If you're in control and can reform, then you should reform. Mark Jacob, good to talk to you again. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you next week.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Dan Schumacher and do a little sports as we head into the weekend. That's right after this on this Friday morning, August 18th on Up North News Radio. We'll be back. Time to play Name That Tune on a Friday morning with Dan Schumacher, our resident deadhead. What are we opening up today's segment with?
Roll away the Duke. Franklin's Tower.
Okay.
Called Franklin's Tower.
Sharon confirmation? Oh, okay, there we go. No, we're not putting anything past this guy. He had a Grateful Dead tribute band in his backyard just two weeks ago. So he probably knows a thing or two about the music that we're hearing here. A lot of football to talk about because, again, it was a little cool out there. I mean, you said you needed a blanket last night.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice, you know. Mm-hmm. It was 50 degrees and waking up to that, it was good. Throw a second blanket on top.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got high school football getting going this mm-hmm. week. We'll talk about college, talk about the pros. But I'm going to get the rough stuff out of the way first. And, you know, for folks that don't like football, this is kind of going to set the pace for you here. But preseason football is you know, risky enough as it is. And so to see not one but two Philadelphia Eagles players had to be carted off the field with neck injuries in a preseason game, I mean it really just tells you something about the game itself. Football is not one that lends itself to exhibitions, you know, like baseball, basketball, things like that, because of the very nature of how you make a play work in football.
Well, there's, you know, this time of year, it's different than watching a Pro Bowl or anything like that, or OTAs. I mean, these guys are out there because they're trying to make a team. And they're playing at 110%, flying around the field. They're trying to get on film. They want to get graded out so they can have something to argue for that roster spot. So I understand the preseason. I think the preseason is too long. But, you know, it's unfortunate you get those injuries, and it happens every single year with preseason. Somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Maybe in practice. I mean, I would be more concerned if the Packers – they're going to play the Patriots tomorrow night, but they spent the week practicing against them. So, you know, I don't know what's worse, the practice, them trying to earn spots during practice where you see the fights and you see the skirmishes amongst players and offensive line, defensive line, or is it a preseason game? I don't know what's worse on the body for them and how to make a team.
Yeah, but again, that's what comes with the territory here, and then that gets you into the season. And again, you've got the season starting this week. We've talked to Chad Holmes quite a bit earlier this week about how happy he is to see the players back on the field and to be calling games again. And I'm glad that there were games last night and I guess tonight, and a good thing, because I mean, we're supposed to get into the 90s again for the early part of the week. So glad they've got good weather for it this week.
Yeah.
You looking forward to it?
No.
I'm talking about high school football, not the 90s.
Yeah, right. No, it's exciting. I was watching some of the highlights because they opened up Thursday night last night. So saw Chippewa Falls. Kid made a heck of a run. Look, they're trying to compare him. It was a Barry Sanders-type run. I don't know what the outcome of the Chi-High game was, but, high school football started, and it's basically when that starts, everything else is going. College football starts in 2 weeks as well, so it'll be in the grind. I did see the Badgers made a change at their color radio position. I think Mark Tauscher.
Yes.
He's going to be the new former Green Bay guy, lineman, and going to join the booth there for the Badgers this season. So football's all over the news right now.
I was going to say, and I don't have the Badger football schedule in front of me here, so we will, but again, we'll have all fall to talk about that, you know, what with a new coach and everything else. So, you know, tis the season. We have to start making that turn, and I mentioned it earlier when talking about baseball, because, yeah. You know, it's not quite home stretch time yet, but if you're the Brewers and you just got swept by the Dodgers, you're awfully happy that you swept the White Sox, you know, the weekend prior, because, yep. You know, you're running out of time to give up a sweep.
Correct. The Reds and the Cubs are both two games back right now in the division. They both have a big weekend here series, both the Brewers and the Cubs. And I'm sure since I don't know who Cincinnati's playing, but a two game lead is not a lot. It can be overcome in a week, you yes. know? So I actually disagree with you, Pitt. I think this is playoff time, basically. Mm-hmm. I would say it's the start of the home stretch. We're just a week away from being in September, you yeah. know? So I think it's going to get real interesting. We'll see how the pitching holds up for the next 30 to 45 days for all these teams to see where they land.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers are heading to Texas, and, you know, they just got done with one division leader. The Dodgers lead the West by 10.5 games over the Giants, but the Rangers are no slouches. They lead the West by 2.5 games over Houston, and Texas on the whole, if they were in the same division as the Brewers, you know, the Brewers would be about 5-6 games back. So yeah. This is not going to be an easy series for them either. They have several tough opponents compared to the Cubs and the Reds, you know, respectively. So yeah, you're right that the Brewers should be putting more pressure on themselves, frankly.
Yeah. I think the Cubs and Brewers, don't they end the season in the last weekend, like late September?
Do they
down at Miller Park or whatever you want to call it, AmFam or whatever. They're probably not a stadium.
Well, yeah, here's
want to leave.
Okay, here's how things end. So they're in Texas, and then next week they're at home for that little two-game series against the Twins, you know, that they do every year. But then it's three at home against the Padres, but then they go to Chicago, three against the Cubs at the end of this month. Then there's a Philly series, but then there's a series with Pittsburgh. They're in the division. Then the Yankees and Miami and Washington. But then here's the last however many games here. Let's see. The season ends with four games in St. Louis and three in Miami, and then three at home against St. Louis, and then three at home against the Cubs. So I guess we can talk about crunch time, but really that whole division, yeah. wherever things stand, you know, going into those last six games of the season, the last week of September, that's going to say it all.
Yep.
You know,
looking at that division, I mean, the Cubs are the only team in the division right now out of the last 10 games have a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
So the Brewers, what, they're 4-6 in the last 10. So there's opportunity for Cincinnati, the Cubs, to make a run and make a move.
All right. Women's World Cup wraps up this weekend. Sweden versus Australia. Who you got? Trick question. You don't have to answer that. No.
Sweden.
Yeah. But again, it's one of those things where it starts at, I think, 3 a.m., 3 or 4 a.m. On Fox for folks who are going to be night owls and check it out. And then that'll be done. And then I see the U.S. women's coach has already resigned, which was fully expected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dan, I know you're just getting started with the new job, but, you know, any opening you got to take seriously. So. I think you're doing fine up there at Northland. So
no, we're getting people hired. We're getting people hired and yep. new head coaches, young people. It's a good opportunity at the university I'm at. So it's more of a beginner's stepping stone type school. So
well, you
coaches,
you're definitely enjoying it. Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later.
See ya.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for being part of our show. Coming up on Monday, we'll have the ladies from Motherhood for Good, along with State Representative Christina Shelton. You can follow me over at Up North, Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here 6 a.m. Monday morning.